All right, are you ready?
Yes.
You got all your papers?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the With Chinese Characteristics podcast. I'm Natalie.
I'm Cherry.
We have an exciting episode for you today about a depressing topic, something a little bit more current than our past few episodes about peasant rebellions.
Recent histories.
Well, you know, yesterday's history.
Good point.
Right? So what's our topic for today?
Our topic today is violence against... Our topic today is...
We'll try that again.
Our topic today is violence against doctors with Chinese characteristics.
Okay. So is that violence with Chinese characteristics or violence against doctors with Chinese characteristics?
Violence against doctors. Violence with Chinese characteristics is a whole other topic.
Okay.
I don't think we have enough time in one episode.
So what is violence against doctors? What part of that has Chinese characteristics?
So being a doctor can be a hard job.
Yeah.
Especially in developing countries where medical resources are scarce.
Is China a developing country though?
Well, depends on what we're talking about. When we need like financial aid from other countries, we are a developing country.
Okay.
When we want to
annex Hong Kong.
Annex Hong Kong or I don't know, get some trade benefits. We're not, you know, when we need to look better.
Yeah.
So it really depends. It's a very elusive situation. But medical resources wise, let's say we are.
Okay.
Okay. Threats and violence to medical workers is common, you know, in many countries. You know, we cannot say that China is alone in this. But what sets China apart are a few things.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to put...
Chopsticks for one.
And 5,000 years of history.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you some numbers to put it into perspective.
Of the scale of Chinese violence against doctors.
Yes.
Okay.
According to a nationwide survey by the Chinese Medical Doctor Association that was conducted between 2016 and 17, 66% of the 150,000 doctors they have surveyed said that they have suffered physical or verbal assaults from patients.
Interesting.
So 66%, that's a huge number, I thought. 10% is too much in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And another survey done in 2019 by Ding Xiangyuan, this is a popular website for healthcare professionals in China, it found that 85% of doctors interviewed has experienced violence in their workplace.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So obviously these might have different samples. It's bad.
If you're a doctor in China, more likely than not, you've experienced some sort of violence from patients.
Yes. The number of violent events against hospitals and doctors and nurses have gone up almost every year for the past 20 years in China. Aside from the more common medical disputes, which again happens everywhere, what's special about these cases in China is the shocking level of violence involved. In other countries, serious injuries and murders are very, very rare. Again, against doctors for medical dispute reasons.
Against them specifically for being doctors.
Yes.
Okay.
Who may have treated them or work at the hospital that have treated their violence perpetrators. And between 2016 to 2018, a total of almost 8,000 people have been prosecuted from the crime of intentionally injuring medical staff or inciting crowds at hospitals. And that's just the people who are committed.
Okay. So, yeah, because I'm thinking like, doesn't sound like that much for a period of years in China, but yeah, China's a big place. But I think we talked about it in our marriage episode or our Chinese parents episode. Low-level assaults in China are kind of not a crime.
No.
As long as like bones don't get broken, as long as...
Or if you're beating your wife or children.
Well, Cherry, that's a domestic... You never get charged. That's just a domestic dispute, exactly. Right, Cherry?
Yes.
I mean, she's your wife.
Yeah, you have ownership over this person. So, you know, so with that said... Much like COVID cases, the ones that are actually counted are, you know, maybe 10% or 5% of the actual cases.
Mm.
The real number can be higher, and this is the official number. Yeah, so bad times for Chinese doctors. Before we go into the details of some theories of why this happens in China, I want to give a brief history of the Chinese healthcare system. Before the 1980s,
I feel stupid for having to say this, but this is the modern Chinese healthcare system.
Yes. Yeah.
China's not all acupuncture and, you know, dried lizard powder, right?
No.
There's real hospital
dry lizard powder.
Yeah.
So before the 1980s, in the new China, after 1949, it was a completely nationalized system. And then we fast forward for about 10 years between late 1960s to late 1970s. One could argue that we didn't really have a healthcare system. I mean, hello, Cultural Revolution.
There's not really even a functional government.
Yes. Wow. Not the official government that's functioning anyways.
Yeah.
The red cards are very functioning.
Yeah.
Too functioning at the time.
And I know doctors were a common scene in movies about the Cultural Revolution.
Struggle sessions.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of movies in the Cultural Revolution that came out in the 90s in a brief period where you were kind of allowed to talk about it in China. And a common scene is going to the hospital and all the doctors have been beat up or are gone because they're educated, so they're a target. And you have like college students or like high school students running the hospital.
Yeah, so a whole generation of doctors just...
Yeah.
Diminished. Then we get to the 1980s, China's opening up and all industries, some industries are privatizing and the healthcare system also started to get commercialized.
Oh boy.
So fast forward to today, the healthcare cost in China today is sort of an odd situation. On one hand, to visit a specialist costs very little if you lived in an urban area.
Okay.
You could just scoot over to the local hospital. You could pay a small fee to get in line, and you can choose whichever doctor you would like to see at that hospital. There's no referral system, per se.
Would you just wait in the hallway in a line so you can see them? Or?
Well, you get in line to get a number.
So you just go, my head hurts. I want to see a neurologist.
Well, that actually happens.
Okay.
Yeah. So the concept of a primary care physician is relatively new to China. And it is only starting to get institutionalized in the past few years.
So you kind of almost self-diagnose.
Yeah.
You go to the hospital and you think, I want to see this type of doctor. You don't go see a doctor first who then tells you what kind of doctor to go to.
Yes.
Okay.
And my people, Chinese people, have definitely, and I cannot deny this, have a tendency to try to seek out the best professionals there is with minor discomfort.
I think it's the best of everything, right?
Yes. So... what that means is doctors, specialists in urban areas, are forced to see sometimes up to 100 patients a day.
This would be like a neurosurgeon, right? So like a neuro, so like a neurologist is supposed to
look at if you have a headache.
Yeah, 100 people a day, right? Yes. Brain problems.
And then in this case that you said, neurologist says, oh, well, you got to get a head CT. Those are very expensive compared to the doctor's visit. Tests, hospital stays, treatments are generally very, very expensive. So compared to the cost of just go see a doctor for an appointment.
It's like a movie theater. They make money on the popcorn.
Exactly. The product is not the diagnosis.
Okay. The extra stuff.
The extra stuff. The add-ons. And doctors in China have a relatively modest base pay as their salary. Mm-hmm. And the hospitals must keep themselves afloat with selling of the medicine, the prescribed medicine and all the treatment. So that even if these treatments sometimes are necessary, patients get very suspicious.
Yeah.
And it is a breeding ground for corruption.
So you go to see your neurologist because you have a headache and it's $10, right?
Yeah.
And then they go, well, you really need a CT scan because I really can't tell you otherwise. And that's $5,000.
Yeah.
And they're going to be upset because they're going to think.
Naturally, yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's realistically, how's he supposed to know what's wrong inside your head?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes. So as much as I often voice my problem with the American referral system.
Yeah.
You know, China is starting to push this out. And at lower levels, especially at the countryside, they try to bring in the primary care physician.
But I'm assuming people don't want to go to them because they'd rather just go to the hospital.
Yeah, there's a mistrust situation going on here, which we'll get to in a second.
Okay. So I know in the U.S. there's problems with some kickbacks. And that's basically what started the opioid crisis with like OxyContin and stuff.
Yeah.
But you're saying in China it's even more direct than that. Like a lot of salaries and bonuses are directly linked to how much medicine they can sell, x-rays they can get people to take.
That's how it works.
Okay.
Okay, the hospital will make more money, but the medicine that's prescribed by a doctor goes back to the doctor.
Okay, so there's different revenue channels for the doctor, right?
Exactly. So...
well, it's a system that seems almost designed to create mistrust and corruption. Because even if you're an honest doctor, right?
Yes.
People are going to assume you're not.
Yeah. So China is still a developing country. In 2014, China's population counts for more than 20% of the world's population and 2% of the world's total expenditure on healthcare.
Okay.
So that's 1 to 10. And in 2019, China's medical expenditure costs 6.64% of the country's GDP. Comparatively, America is 17.5%. of its GDP. UK, you know, when we talk about Medicare and medical system, America might not be the best model to sample after.
But if you're rich, it is. But
United Kingdom, where universal healthcare is implemented, in 2018, the total medical expenditure costs 10% of its GDP.
Yeah, it's more efficient.
Yes. But in China's case, I think it's more of like, we just don't have enough money to spend on it.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017, every 1,000 citizens, we have 2 doctors in China.
Okay.
And for America, that's 2.6 doctors.
Okay, so it's not...
In UK, that's 2.8 doctors per 1,000 citizens.
So it's not drastically far off. There are, I don't know if I want to say enough doctors in China, but it's...
Well, no, that's like 20% less.
I know, but you know, it's in the same ballpark.
Hmm. Okay, maybe, because India has the worst, 0.9 doctors per 1,000 citizens.
Yeah, so I mean, the problem is that a lot of the doctors are not utilized because people won't go to them because they're not...
There's a concentration of medical resources in bigger cities, and people will travel far in order to seek out those...
Even if they have clinics in their village in their or nearby. Village,
yeah, because they want to go to the best.
Okay, so there are less doctors, but it's made worse
yes.
by the situation.
Yes, so patients experience long waits for short appointments because it's too easy to get.
Mm-hmm.
Patients being suspicious of expensive tests and medications that may benefit the doctors... more than themselves is a breeding ground for anger and violence that comes after. But we'll get to that in a second. So in the case of that you already have these negative experiences and if you think your doctor is treating you wrong, what do? In other countries, you file malpractice suits or you file a complaint with the hospital.
Yeah, or you tell you get your insurance company, you know, involved or something.
Exactly. But in China, there's not really a good resource to mitigate these complaints and dissatisfactions.
Okay.
So there is, on paper, official avenue for filing these complaints.
So this would be like if you're overcharged, you think you got the wrong treatment, you think they did a bad job.
Yeah, or if you go through a surgery and you think they are charging you too much and didn't fix your problems.
Mm, okay.
Which modern medicine doesn't fix all your problems.
Doesn't fix a lot of problems.
Right? So patients in China and their families don't really tend to trust those institutions. They think it's largely unfair and are on the side of the establishments.
These sort of, we'll call them malpractice channels.
Legal channels, right? Okay. And I can't blame them because in terms of rule and law, we're not really striving and trying very hard for a fair judicial system to begin with. So yeah. Who's to argue?
You know, even in the US, if you're richer, you have more money, you have more access to better lawyers, you have more access to things, right? You already have an advantage.
Yes.
If you have more money. And in China, where you know, can essentially bribe people or just call the local party and go, you know, it would be bad if we lost this case. It would make the party look bad or something. Then it's used even more rigged against you. And even if it's not, right? Even if the local area is incredibly fair and all the judges, they're not going to bow to pressure, you... as a lower income
and what's Chinese... the chance of that?
Yeah, I know, but let's just say it is. Let's say you were in the perfect village. You're
sure,
in a,
the you perfect know, village.
You won't necessarily believe it.
No.
Right? Even if it is fair, you're going to assume it's not fair because most aspects of your life are not fair.
Exactly, right? So all of those situations contributes to daily verbal abuse and bad attitudes towards doctors and nurses. And that's the lowest level of violence.
And also, if doctors have to see 100 patients a day, they're not going to really have time to...
No, bedside manner, I think we talked about, is a luxury.
Yeah, and because also, if there's no kind of equivalent of long-term care with a single doctor,
mm-mm.
there's no time to build a bond, right?
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? You're never going to see them again. Yeah.
So daily verbal abuse and all these mistrust doctors and medical professionals, they're used to it.
Mm.
They already expect it. And what's worse is the higher level of physical violence. And let me bring you a concept that's called yi nao. It's very much with Chinese characteristics. It literally translates to medical disturbance.
Okay, so it's Chinese slang?
It's a word. Anyone would know it.
Okay.
Well, any Chinese person would know it, not anyone.
Yeah.
It is a illegal interruption of normal activities at a hospital, usually conducted by a patient and their relatives, and in many cases, local gang who specializes in causing disturbance in hospitals.
So it's like a shakedown.
For financial compensation.
So they do your surgery and you go like, my knee still hurts.
Yeah.
And you're charging me too much. And they go, well, you know, you got diabetes or whatever other problem. That's how much it costs. And you go, well, you know what?
You're a fraud.
Yeah. You go, well, you know what? I'm going to go in, come back with some tough dudes.
Yeah.
Or local hooligans, and we're going to smash the place up unless you lower the price, give me my money back, treat me better or something.
Yes. So usually they threaten and assault hospital staff, damage facilities and equipment, and disturb daily operation at the hospitals. It is common to find little, you know, advertising cards all over the just outside the hospital, or sometimes inside the hospital, that providing illegal support.
So this is like those billboards on the freeway, which is like, injured at work, call 1-800, you know, your John Steven.
Personal injury lawyer. Yeah,
personal injury lawyer.
Exactly.
This is like your personal beat up the hospital staff squad.
Yes. Well put. So to provide illegal support for any patients who are unhappy with their medical treatment. So this is a whole industry.
I mean, they probably have to be a little bit more vague about it than just saying, we'll provide you illegal support.
Yeah. So.
Okay, I guess maybe they don't.
And when they break out this disturbance session, let's say, the reaction of local police to the request of help from the hospital is notoriously slow.
Mm.
They often arrive in delay, or even after their arrival, it's not uncommon that they will just stand around and observe the situation instead of doing anything to help.
So they're treating it like a domestic violence. Show up late, just watch, tell people to sort it out themselves.
Exactly. Because unlike a worker's protest against a factory owner, or, you know, common people's protest against the local government, which those get put down real fast before it even happens, the police tend to think that this kind of issues belong to the hospital to resolve. It is a matter of doctor-patient relationship rather than being counted as criminal activities.
I mean, I'm sure sometimes these disturbances are, at least in the minds of the people committing them, legitimate, right? They think they truly have been wronged.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it's not thugs, right? It could be their family members or...
And they choose to do this because they think this is the only way they could voice their anger and look for justice, because there's no other way. The legal avenue does not really work and takes a long time, and they may not, you know, have the literacy, the legal literacy,
yeah,
to pursue that.
I mean, and so do these things work?
Oh, yeah. That's why it's an industry.
Okay, so they're more likely to work than not work.
Yeah. Well, at least for the past 10 years or so. I don't know about today. COVID has thrown a wrench into everything.
Yeah.
Because now hospitals are like military bases and fortresses. And
yeah.
I don't think those local gangs want to go to the hospital to get COVID.
Yeah.
Right?
But who knows what's going to happen.
Who knows what's going to happen after. But, you know, today I think it's fine. Everyone's still worried about COVID very much. But yeah, so a few years ago, this definitely worked.
Yeah. 2019.
Yeah. And the other thing is, because the doctors and medical professionals in China are somewhat still in the system, most of them are still public hospitals, by which an extension of the government, even though they don't have the same authorities as party members. But the perpetrators are usually not part of the system.
And they're probably also lower income too, because if you're a wealthy city dweller, you just go through an official channel, right? You could probably afford to get a lawyer.
You probably would trust your doctors more too.
Yeah, true.
The perpetrators are mostly, you know, lower income, don't work for the government.
Because if you work for the government, your medical care is free and you basically get the white glove treatment, right? I mean, you don't pay for anything. You get the best.
You
get to cut the line, you know. You
cut the line. You have a special floor. You have special, like, inpatient care.
So you wouldn't have really any reason to be mad at the doctors.
We're talking about the common people of China.
The Laobaixing.
The Laobaixing of China, yeah. Good Chinese word.
Thank you.
Because the doctors and medical professions are in the system, the head of the hospitals are most of the time a party secretary who's a party member. Even if the injured medical staff and the hospitals themselves are often unfairly criticized or punished by the city administrators, all local government, for not managing the situation properly and quietly.
So the incentive is for these hospitals to just give these people what they want?
Yes, they... Because of that, they usually try to negotiate and spend lots of money for settlements of the dispute.
Which then means they got to get more money from shaking other people down.
Exactly.
Because these hospitals, I mean, they're in the government system, but they still have to make money.
They're in charge of their own profitability. It's not a non-profit organization.
Well, I mean, it might be in a strict sense, as in there's not stockholders.
True. Right?
But like, it's not like the NHS in England.
Also in China, the different thing compared to China to America is that in China, the entire hospital is insured as a group instead of individual doctors. So in America, if it's malpractice suit, you go, I'm suing Dr. So-and-so. In China, you would sue the whole hospital. So
individual doctors don't really have any...
say over this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the hospital as a group, with a party secretary as a leader, if they could pay some money to make it go away. and the local police is not going to do anything.
Mm.
So there is also, well, which relates to the point we talked about before, some would argue that there is low house literacy among the public in China. And when I say low house literacy, I mean modern Western medicine literacy.
Mm. There's a lot of knowledge about folk remedies and things like that. And
what's that?
Don't drink cold water, it'll hurt your stomach.
You know? It doesn't, but yes.
You know what I mean? Like traditional Chinese medicine.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, that's not what most hospitals... We do have traditional Chinese medicine hospitals, but...
Quote-unquote.
The thing about traditional Chinese medicine is that it doesn't give you any guarantee. And often it deals with chronic diseases nowadays.
Yeah.
So there's way less of a reason for you to go argue this didn't work. Because they'll just tell you it takes longer.
No one really expects it to work, right? Like,
yeah.
No one really... Yeah, like, if you do a special diet to cure your cancer, right? It's like... There's no really to get really mad at but yourself for yes. thinking that's going to work, right?
Yes.
You
cannot file a
there's no face
malpractice suit over
yeah,
that.
Against an acupuncturist.
Yes. You have no argument.
No.
Yeah. So, but what comes to, when it comes to Western medicine, the lack of how medical literacy gives an illusion that if you take this pill, you will be fine.
If you go in, oh, my head hurts, right? And the neurologist... probably like a doctor in the US isn't going to tell you, doesn't want to tell you something that might not be true.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to say, get this test, right? We got to figure out what it is.
Yes.
And the person's like, why can't you just tell me what's wrong with me, right? Why can't you
just be holding something.
Yeah.
Back.
Why can't
like
you just...
that local party official.
Yeah. Why can't you just give me the pill and cure it?
Yes. And they will think that they're corrupt even sometimes mm-hmm. when they're not. Of course, there are corrupt doctors, but mm-hmm. I like to think it's not the majority of them. So these local gangs, the medical disturbance, is a huge phenomenon in China. Again, not today, because of COVID, probably.
Maybe again in the future.
Maybe again, fingers crossed, hopefully not.
But, these aren't killing doctors usually,
no, these
right?
are not, yeah. So the highest level of violence, the murder of the doctors. And I'm
or
just
the
gonna,
violent assault and stabbing.
Violent assault. So people get actually injured. Or killed in these cases. And I'm just going to read a few you know, examples of it.
Okay.
February 17th, 2014, in a hospital in Heilongjiang province, a perpetrator was not happy with the surgical outcome and attacked the head of his ENT doctor with an iron pipe and murdered him. February 18th, 2014, a general surgeon was consulting a patient and his throat was slashed suddenly by his former patient and he died as well. February 25th, 2014, at Nanjing Stomatology Hospital, a young female patient was not happy with her ward arranged by a nurse on duty. Later, her both parents beat the nurse up to paralysis. So these are just a few
public ones
that gets reported that by just reading them scares me. But there is one case I want to talk about that is one for the history books. I don't mean positive.
So this is like the... This is like the Columbine school shooting of... Why don't you crackle your paper a little bit more while I'm talking to you? So sort of like how Columbine was the school shooting that kind of made it into the history books and everybody sort of uses shorthand for school shootings in America.
Yeah.
This is like the stabbing, doctor yeah. stabbing everyone.
This
remembers.
Is the case that gets brought up a lot in you know research papers and that. On 23rd March 2012, a 17-year-old boy with a inflammatory... infection of the spine. There's a name, very complicated name for this disease, but I won't try to pronounce it. He also has TB, which is lung infection, at the same time.
Tuberculosis.
Yes. And he was seeking medical treatment, and he was told by a senior doctor, you know, in a Harbin hospital, which is in northern China, that he needs to treat the TB first before they can do anything else. He left the clinic, but quickly he returned with a knife, and he fatally stabbed Dr. Wang Hao, who was not involved in his case. I think that was just the first doctor with the white coat that he saw.
Mm.
And he also injured three other doctors.
Probably try to stop him.
And this case is very typical because in most of these, we'll call them doctor stabbing cases, the perpetrators are male, mostly poor or, you know, not of high income groups. And they are, you know, on the hooks for their own medical treatment. And in this case, he didn't get a medical treatment. But most of the time, they either are seeking medical treatment and feel like they were refused and they cannot afford to lose a day's work to feed themselves, or they have paid for medical treatment and didn't feel like they got their money's worth.
Mm.
And most of these perpetrators do not have a criminal record. They're not serial killers. Also, most of them don't have a diagnosis of mental illness.
Kind of sounds like, I brought up school shootings, but it does almost sound like mass shooting kind of thing. The frustrated
young male.
Yeah. So
masculinity is great.
So it's not just nurses. I mean, it's probably not just doctors who get killed in these, right? It can be nurses and other people too, or medical staff.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not just doctors. And in this case, it's the first doctor he saw. So really, anyone in the hospital is a target.
Yeah.
It's a very dangerous work environment.
Hmm.
Who would have thought? Pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Right? So during COVID, obviously, it's also very dangerous, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons, so this is a very typical case and very shocking back in the days. But another reason that it's one for the history books and that gets, you know, referenced all the time is that at the time, shortly after the incident, the People's Daily, our beloved Communist Party mouthpiece, reported on the news. I don't know why they did this, but they did an online poll at the end of the article. They asked readers to express their feelings about the murder news using emojis.
We joke about how the U.S. news media, especially mm-hmm. like after the Trump presidency, is just like a complete mess and doesn't even know how to like ask like questions to the White House press secretary. But,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. Just imagine just
the murder. We locked all the reporters, you know, away in China. So no one knows how to what ethical reporting is. Not ethical, just
common sense.
Common sensitive.
Don't ask people to react to emoji to a violent yeah. murder of a poor young doctor.
So for good reasons, this was taken down very quickly afterwards. But it's out there because I was able to find a screenshot of it. And there are 8 emojis. And the question is, how do you feel after reading this article? A very short news report. And out of 6,000 people who have responded, 4,000 of them said, I am very happy about it. Well, they clicked on the happy emoji, at least.
So sort of implying like, yeah, those doctors are all corrupt.
Yeah, sorry. I'm shocked by it too, even though I'm reading it for the third time. So let me say this. Obviously, among the 6,000 people who would answer, you know, answer a emoji survey on People's Daily's website, and this was in 2012 before social media, right? This was not a great sample of the Chinese population because I think there's a certain kind of people who would bother to do that, right? Or maybe internet trolls. However, that is still very shocking. And a doctor at the time said, I think I would just quote him. His name is Liang Yingcong. I hope I said his name right. He is a doctor at a Peking University First Hospital. And he said, when the doctor in Harbin was stabbed to death, netizens were cheering for the murderer. There is something wrong with the society.
Yeah, so I'm assuming these murders are less common than the kind of hospital disturbances, which almost seem like part of the system at this point.
It's still way too common.
Yeah.
There are many, many, many cases of these. And every other month, there's a high-profile case that gets circulated in the Chinese news cycle.
Mm.
And the world goes, oh, how could this be happening? But it's old news, just like, I'm sorry, school shootings in America or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And interesting thing is, in the news report of all these cases, the hospital administrators, local party officials often try to emphasize that these are not doctor-patient dispute-caused cases.
These aren't systemic problems.
No, they go, just like mass shootings, this is a lone wolf.
They're like, you know, there's nothing we can do.
Nothing to do here.
Yeah.
Although many, many papers, if you just search for, you know, violence against Chinese doctors, there are many, many papers and many, many records of these written by Chinese doctors and, you know, foreign researchers everywhere, which I understand how they're feeling after researching this.
Mm.
So among all the other, some of the other factors we've talked about, because this is still a history podcast, I was thinking one aspect of this is that China has a long history of medicine, Chinese medicine, right?
5,000 years.
5,000 years, like everything else in China. And there has been an evolution of the perception of the doctor's role in Chinese culture and in Chinese public.
Mm.
So in ancient times, Chinese medicine was done through superstition and medical practitioners were often seen as wielding this mystical power. And we talked about how Taoist...
I don't think superstition's fair because like... Okay. At the time, it wasn't superstition, right? At the time, it was like...
we call it superstition today.
It was religion, right? It was, or yes. It was seen as like science, right?
Just like how we talked about how Taoist priests would often travel around and treat people with Chinese medicine.
Mm.
But that has a religious undertone to it.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, faith healing.
Yeah, faith healing. Well, and even stuff like feng shui, which people have heard of, that all kind of ties into it, right? Like, oh, if your feng shui is really out of whack, you'll get sick, right? You know what yes. I mean? It's a kind of all-encompassing
yeah.
system. And it involves some what we'd probably call real medicine, right?
Well, I mean, okay. So about feng shui, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes, like, for example, interior design, right? Feng shui makes sense to me because it goes, the common areas where you move around in the house must be, don't have sharp objects in the way.
Well, there's a lot of stuff like kosher food.
Yeah.
Or halal food for Islam as like ancient food safety laws.
Yeah.
Oh, why shouldn't I eat that type of food? Oh, well, God says you shouldn't eat it. People probably died from it. How are we going to get people to stop eating this stuff? Well, we'll just tell them.
God didn't want it to do it. But they did it for a reason.
Well.
Through observation.
Either that or God came down with some food safety laws.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I feel like feng shui is kind of like that. It's like, you know, you can look at it and be like, oh, that looks nice. Right? And you go, oh, well, why does it look nice?
We'll make up some rules about it.
Some dragons got to do some stuff.
Yes. So where was I after feng shui? So Asian Chinese medicine practitioners, you know, these mystical powers that they hold, common human beings can only obey it, right? And they respect them in the hope of being treated. And back in the days, we called the doctors, we still call them today sometimes, we call them Dai Fu, which means scholar bureaucrats also at the same time.
Man, those Confucian scholars, they really can do everything.
Jack of all trades. So back in the day, a Chinese doctor is an authoritative figure. They're protective of the people.
Yeah.
They're well respected and they're honorable.
Well, at least they're the ones who wrote the history, so.
Exactly. And then last 200 years, transitioning times for China. We get to Mao's China. And for a good few decades, doctors were not respected. And this obviously comes to a head during Cultural Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
During Cultural Revolution, doctors, like you said, as the representative of capitalist agents.
Yeah. I mean, they have an expensive education. They know things other people don't know that you can't just get from life experience.
Mm-mm. They might speak English.
They might wear glasses.
Yes.
Soft hands, sure.
Yeah, exactly. And doctors are often the target of many violences perpetrated towards them by the Red Guards. And I was reading one case from 2014, and it reminded me of Cultural Revolution.
Okay.
And I'll read it to you just to see if it reminds you too. So 2014 March, in Chaozhou Central Hospital, a patient had acute alcoholic intoxication due to alcohol abuse, and he died after prompt treatment.
Mm.
The relatives of the deceased patient consider the doctor's treatment had led to the death, and they called up approximately 100 people to humiliate the doctor in charge by forcing him to walk in hospital in front of the hospital for half an hour until the local police broke it up.
Sounds like a struggle session.
Exactly. It's a modern struggle session. They weren't killing the doctor. They weren't asking for money. I mean, I guess they were. Maybe that's the end goal.
Yeah.
But they did it so by marching the doctors out in front of the hospital and having 100 people witness him.
Yeah, and probably throw things at them and punch them and stuff. Right?
Yeah, so that's a legacy of the doctor's treatment from Cultural Revolution, which still is alive today. And I think that definitely has to contribute to how the society overall don't think doctors are respected, honorable people.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's not necessarily a failing of Chinese people or Chinese culture. It's a failing of the system.
Yeah.
That puts doctors in this adversarial role.
Exactly. And today, the practice of Western medicine is more common in China, and the mysterious veil in front of medicine is somewhat removed. And doctors are no longer held as father figures, especially with privatization of the market and how all these expensive treatments and medicine and corruption that the system breeds.
Well, also, it's almost like old school Chinese doctors, they had bedside manner. You know what I mean?
I guess they did, yeah.
Right? Yeah, you know what I mean? You're supposed to talk to people. But now it almost seems almost like a doctor's more like a car mechanic.
Yes.
It's like you bring it in there and they go, you need a tire rotation, you need an air filter, you need an oil change. And you're like, do I really need all that stuff? And they go, yeah, you do. You know?
So sleazy.
Yeah.
Exactly like that. Some patients see doctors nowadays as anywhere between greedy liars, merchants, salesmen of expensive medicine, and sometimes just a servant who's providing you with a service.
Mm.
And that obviously caused a lot of problems because there's a mismatch of expectations and reality in the case where if they think you're a servant, if the patient thinks the doctor is a servant,
yeah.
the servant better not dictate a treatment plan for the patient.
That they don't
want to
hear.
Knows better.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. And in the case where, you know, they think you're trying to upsell them some some CT scans or whatever.
Yeah.
So that all breeds dissatisfaction and anger, which then with the lack of legal avenues to voice that comes to violence and doctor killing.
And also
in many cases,
I think sort of like school shootings, there's probably a copycat effect. There's all these cases of like people going and killing doctors.
Yeah.
Some 20-year-old unemployed guy, you know, like, you know what, I'm going to kill a
What do I have to lose?
Yeah, what do I have to lose, right? I'm already going to die or whatever.
So maybe we can talk about some good things.
Okay.
About some attempts or theories on how we can break up the situation. Because this is a vicious circle and everyone's a victim in it.
Yeah. And we don't know if it's going to start up again after COVID ends.
Yes. So in 2014, a paper with the title Stop Violence Against Medical Workers in China, written by several Chinese doctors, bless their hearts, because it's hard to be a doctor in China, they called for, quote, a neutral and fair judicial system to examine medical disputes and must process independently and should not be controlled by medical administrators or the government. Medical administrators, who are almost all the time are not medical professionals. The head of a hospital would be a party secretary who's, you know, being sent to the hospital.
Well, they're not in the U.S. either. Normally they're bureaucrats, right? They're like business people, but they're not.
That's different from party
people. Yeah, different from party members.
Yeah. So, and I read that and I was like, I 100% agree. However, what about the elephant in the room?
Which is there are no independent...
A neutral and a fair judicial system anywhere in the society, or at least we're going towards the direction where we don't want that anymore. Mm. Right? We're having less and less of that. I'm not saying there's not one fair courtroom in China. There's many, right?
Yeah.
But
I mean, 10 years ago, a human rights lawyer could be a actual profession you had.
Yes.
In China,
there's
right?
Quite a few of them.
Yes.
There's
now
more
there's
than
quite
one
a few of them in jail.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, you could do things, but this is a systematic problem. It's not about lone wolves or, you know, local disputes.
Yeah.
It's a widespread problem.
And even if you have a fair court, if people don't believe it's fair, then they're not going to accept the outcome that it gives them.
Yes. It's hard work to build a system that can gain the trust of the people.
This is a side note, but that was obviously the damage with, our current president put it, the big lie with the end of the Trump presidency.
Yeah.
Was sowing distrust in, you know,
doubt into people's
yeah
hearts.
Doubt into a fair system, right? Yeah. Once most people don't trust it anymore, then, you know, there's it's very difficult to get back from that, right?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes a system like this,
mm-hmm.
a democracy or a court system, in a way it's very solid because you have separation of power and all that, but on the other hand it could be very fragile if everyone just decides that they don't trust it anymore, so they're not going to act accordingly.
Yes.
If everyone pretends there's no fairness or rule of law, then there's no fairness or rule of law.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's China.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, China, it's the opposite. It's like it's stable because behind it, it's not based
It's stable on the surface.
Well, yeah, but it's not based on everybody believing in a certain way or believing that the system...
No, it's just all suppressed.
And there's just, there's the iron core of the party.
Yes.
Which, yeah.
I want to do an episode one day. Is China really the safest country in the world? So.
Well, from my experience with Chinese elevators.
we'd be on 5 Chinese elevators together, probably total. And one of them decided to die on us. And
2 of them did. The one in the airport, in Shanghai Airport,
holy,
remember?
Yeah,
your,
2
your
of them
dad
did.
Started just like punching the buttons. And
yes, maybe we don't keep this in. So in 2019, after long public outcry, China introduced a new law that aims to prevent violence against medical workers. Finally.
Okay.
And it went into effect on June 1st, 2020. In the middle of COVID.
Okay.
So the law bans any organization, naming, you know, the local gang, or individuals from threatening or harming the personal safety or dignity of medical workers. I'm sorry, the dignity of medical workers. It's a very, with Chinese characteristics
this
law.
Phrase, yeah.
Yeah. You must respect them.
The dignity of them.
What does that even mean? How do you quantify that? But anyhow.
Well, don't put them in a struggle session.
So under the new law, those who do disturb the medical environment or harming medical workers' safety and dignity will be given administrative punishments such as detention or fine. Although that sounds to me, doesn't like that harsh of a punishment.
That sounds pretty weak.
Yes. And here's the thing. A public hospital, why is it not a public, like, why is it not the same as if two people are fighting and trying to kill each other in front of a police station or on the stronger. Street? Or in front of a government building.
Walking in and punching a doctor should have a stronger thing than punching somebody on the street.
No, exactly. And it is part of the local police's, you know, the local law enforcement system that had contributed partially to the problem.
The apathy of
the them. Apathy, yeah. And I mean, I don't know, you know, it's something.
Yeah, it's a start.
It's something. Could be more. Yeah, there's still the future.
Well, I mean, but that's sort of what we talked about, how like low-level assaults aren't really crimes. Like they are on paper. But that you have to make special laws, things like domestic violence or violence against children or these, yeah. Like, they don't get prosecuted, no. Right?
So you have to make a new law to prosecute, even though they should just be a criminal offense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just public battery, like, yeah. At least. Anyhow, so at the same time, a lot of work is done by the Chinese government in the establishment and improvements of the new rural cooperative health insurance system. I'm repeating party lines here, but you know, bear with me for a second. To manage simple diseases at township levels and county level hospitals. These, you know, efforts could help doctors in provincial and high-level hospitals to not have to see 100 patients a day and focus on treatment of difficult and complicated diseases.
Mm.
There's also a zero-profit policy for drugs that's being gradually rolled out nationwide. Starting in the rural areas, it's already been introduced in big cities like Beijing and Shenzhen.
So all drugs are just like certain drugs?
That's unclear to me.
That sounds like they're trying.
We're getting there. At the moment, because I think we talked about how COVID could influence.
Mm-hmm.
What does COVID play as a factor in all these? At the moment, no one wants to go to the hospital if you don't have COVID already. So that ought to help, right, a little bit if every gang member has to wear a head-to-toe protective gear to protest.
I mean, I don't really know, so tell me if I'm wrong, but I bet security at hospitals is a lot tighter.
Oh, yeah.
Partially to prevent you from leaving if you have COVID.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, I forgot to say, as in the face of the violence,
yeah.
Some hospitals in China are organizing their doctors to learn martial arts and hiring more security guards. It's
this
crazy.
Like a, this is like an Ip Man plot. Like, yeah. Ip Man's got to teach the doctors how to do it.
Yeah. Or like, oh, there's a mass shooting. Every student should carry a gun.
There are school districts where they go, teachers should be armed, right?
Yeah. And that's crazy to me. Yeah. But that's for American characteristics podcast.
People don't think, believe in what I've said, is that like China and America, way more similar than people think, right? Like, the idea is like, oh, we'll give the teachers guns. Yeah, we'll teach the doctors kung fu,
martial arts, yeah, right? They can beat up the...
Yeah.
So that's not going to work. Let's just agree, okay? You shouldn't have the doctors be martial arts, be Ip Men and protect themselves.
So, obviously, we're speculating here in the future. The whole COVID situation, I won't say was caused by, but there is a smoking gun in the kind of suppression of doctors in Wuhan,
yeah,
right? And I think... That's kind of the face of it, right? That doctor reported about
Li Wenliang, yes.
And he got put in jail, right? Or briefly, right? Then he had to sign a confession.
Yeah, he wasn't put in jail. He was called to the police office.
You know what I mean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that sort of caused a backlash, obviously. And obviously the Communist Party, at least in propaganda, has been falling it over itself to kind of treat doctors as
heroes,
yeah. As saviors, all these things.
But even at the same time, do not talk to the media.
Yeah, right. Partially to make up for what they did, right? They're not kind of admitting what they did was wrong, but they're trying to you know, sort of get ahead of the story, as one would say. And there's like the hospital, there's like the museum in Wuhan of like how great the doctors are and stuff. So no one knows for sure, but this is going to be, you know, next year after, there is going to be a change in how doctors are treated, I think. Do you think that is going to impact these kind of Chinese cultural traditions of causing violence at hospitals?
Not to be doom and gloom, but here I think that, yes, it's great that we all sing praises of the doctors, which as society should, right? But I feel like you have to take it as a grain of salt as propaganda. because at the same time, the government goes, they're heroes, right? But I mean, any other governments too, like in, you know, in America, sometimes they don't have, at the early COVID stages, they didn't have enough protective gear.
Yeah.
And you're just literally pushing the doctors up to the front lines and letting them die.
Yeah.
Which in China, we literally did, right?
Yeah.
The first whistleblowers died and probably got the strongest strain of coronavirus to begin with. And we cannot, I mean, Li Wenliang as a doctor, as a martyr, who has died of COVID, and you can't have open gatherings, COVID or not,
to mourn him.
You know, he can only live as a propaganda piece, and people can only talk about him in the way that the government wants you to. And like that paper from 2014 that had called for a neutral and fair judicial and independent judicial system,
mm-hmm.
that has to be, or something like that, has to be the way to solve this systematic problem.
That's not what I think is happening or what's going to happen. Do you want to know my prediction as a person who has no qualifications to make such a prediction?
No one does. No one has a qualification to predict future.
So here's my prediction.
Yeah.
Doctors and hospitals are going to be brought under the same umbrella as like police stations, large factories, party offices, where they're not going to solve the problem. They're just going to be added to the group of people that you cannot express your anger against them.
Yeah.
Or the government will come in and squish you like a bug. That's my theory. That used to be an avenue. It used to be safe. You could beat up a doctor and the government will kind of just...
So it's not like we're going to have a rule of law of a society, but we already have a class of people who are untouchables in the system. So we'll just extend this class to the doctors.
Yeah, we're going to just extend that class to the doctors. That's my theory.
I don't know what to say about that. It's a little dark.
I think I'm right, though.
It might be good for the individual doctors, honestly speaking.
Yeah.
It's not good for the whole country, but...
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But I mean, it might be, you know, short-term-wise, it will help less, you know, protect the
in
doctors.
In terms of the ratcheting down of society.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Xi Jinping has a bit of a carrot and a stick approach to things, where there'll be a problem in society. And let's say corruption. And he'll solve, from my perspective, let's say he solves 10% of it.
Okay.
But then he uses that to crack down further on society.
You mean and political enemies?
Political enemies,
yeah.
Freedoms,
sure.
Stuff like that.
Mm.
You know, a little bit, oh, we'll make it so there's no profit for doctors, we'll have rural health care, but giving you this, but if you do anything, right?
Better behave yourself then.
Yeah, better behave yourself then, right? Yeah. And that's what I think is going to happen, right? I think that's kind of a blueprint.
I mean, some people would say that's a good solution, you know, for the sake of evoking all voices on this podcast. Not,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, that's a possibility.
That's my
I'll
theory.
Give it to you. Not the way I want it to go, but,
well, no,
you know.
Want it to be, we have a fair and open society and people
can... Well, it's not like I can vote for that in China, so... And I don't know, from the perspective of an individual doctor, right, who's in fear of your life every day, what do you wish for? Not that you have a way, have a say to it, but...
I mean, you probably wish that if somebody doesn't agree with you, you can throw them out of the hospital. If they come back with a knife,
yeah.
The police shoot them.
Yes. Which they should have been doing because...
Or, you know,
if we're living in a society
or something, right?
Of battery is just not okay.
Yeah.
But towards women or towards doctors, it was okay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well... Hopefully that was interesting to people. I guess the next couple of years will show if this is a talk about Chinese history or Chinese present in terms of if this is still happening after COVID.
Yeah.
The world is kind of in a little cocoon right now.
No, we'll do a revisit
yeah,
after
I mean,
a while.
We'll revisit it after a while.
Yes. And I don't know. Cheers to medical workers everywhere.
Yes.
In China
yes.
or abroad.
We don't want to cast any doctors anywhere as a... being fundamentally corrupt.
Yeah, and on the other side, on the murder side,
mm-hmm.
violence side, most people overwhelmingly who have committed these murders are mm-hmm. one-time offenders, do not have a history of mental illness,
yeah.
are overwhelmingly male and lower class, and are angry with society, then society has a problem, right? It's
yeah.
not all serial killers who do this.
Yes.
And so, it's not to say anyone should do this. No one should do this.
Yeah.
But they might think that's the only thing they could do.
Yeah. And like you said, it's not necessarily even that the doctors or the hospitals are causing it, right? This can just be the final straw.
Yeah, well, in Chinese, we often say, which I always thought that this phrase was funny when I was growing up, that you say someone who's crazy, like committed some crazy crime, nonsense crime, as 报复社会, as in like revenge to the society. Like they're committing a revenge to the society. They're taking out all their anger and all the suppressions that they felt they have suffered throughout the years on some random person.
Is that a modern Chinese saying?
I think so. I always hear it in, like, you know, back in the days when I had newspapers, that my grandparents always read them. And then you read a case in someone who had gone to a school and stabbed some children, and they're, you know, they want to revenge the society.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's suitable in these cases.
Yeah, it's a good term. Well, anyway, there probably is a term that I'm just not thinking of in a...
Well, if you think of it, let us know.
Thank you for listening. Hopefully that was interesting for people.
We'll have more bright episodes coming up.
If you are a healthcare professional somewhere in the world, United
States,
China,
hats off
to you. Hats off to you.
Yeah. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you for what you do. Mm-hmm. If you're a victim of malpractice, I feel bad for you, but please don't beat up any doctors. You know, go through official channels.
Sometimes they don't have the
in the US.
Option to. Oh, in the US.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
It's lucrative in the US.
Malpractice lawsuits?
Yeah, I've heard. So I've heard. I mean, every lawsuit is lucrative for someone in the U.S.
Well, for the lawyers in the U.S.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, well...
Well, it's also lucrative for the local gangs in China.
Well, thank you for listening, and have a nice day.
See you next time.